Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another fantastic show that I have planned for you. You know, this is a program that is really designed and dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And as always, we really need to have access to truthful information. And that's why I have the most enlightened, educated, forward-thinking people on the show that really are dedicated to letting you know what's really going on regarding your health and well-being. And certainly that's what today's show is going to be about. It's actually quite an important show. Before I tell you all about it, I just want to welcome all of my new listeners, and I certainly would love to have you come to visit my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, or like me on my Facebook page, because I will then be able to send you these weekly shows on a regular basis. So if you don't get to listen to them live, you'll be able to access the archived version of the show. And as well, I post lots of great information on my Facebook page, and I have some special reports that I send out all the time if you opt into my newsletter. So it's a way to just keep you up to date with things and on the leading edge. So I hope you'll go visit What Women Must Know, my website, the Facebook page, and come along and join a group of dedicated, enlightened people regarding their health and well-being. Now, speaking of all the things we're going to do to enlighten you, today we're having a really important conversation about the untold dangers of Gardasil, which is known as the cervical cancer vaccine, with two very special people. We have Joan Shenton, who's talking to us from the UK, and then we're going to have Helen Lobato talk to us from Australia. So we have a very international show today, and a very important show it is. So first of all, let me introduce you to Joan Shenton. Joan is the director of the London production company Meditel and has produced over 50 documentaries on health issues for network television, including 8 on AIDS. Joan's programs have been made for the BBC, Channel 4, Thames TV, and Central TV. Her most recent documentary is Sacrificial Virgins, a documentary about the harm caused by the Gardasil vaccine. So we are going to have such an enlightening conversation, and it's my pleasure, my great pleasure, to welcome Joan Shenton to the show today. So hello, Joan.
Hello, Dr. Selman. Hello, Cheryl. It's an honor to be on your show, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Well, we have some really important things to share with everyone today. I've been viewing your documentary, Sacrificial Virgins. I mean, it just tears at your heartstrings, I have to say, and I hope everyone will take the time and watch. You know, just go to sacrificialvirgins.org. Is that the best place, Joan, to watch your documentary, or do you have another recommendation?
Well, actually, all three... they are three, it's a trilogy, and they're all on something called IRF, which stands for Immunity Resource Foundation. But if you just remember IRF Films, you will find them all there.
Okay. Well, everyone needs to watch them because it's time to wake up to what's going on. So I want to just start our conversation, Joan, with... I mean, I know you're an activist. You've been involved with helping to get the truth out about AIDS for many years. What got you interested in the Gardasil story? And we actually should start by telling everyone what Gardasil is. So for those people who have never heard of it or don't know what it is, let's start there, and then we'll go into how you became a passionate advocate about this issue.
Mm. Why, you're asking me, okay. I have always been involved in injury from prescribed drugs. That it doesn't mean I'm against prescribed drugs. It's just that I was seriously injured when I was much younger, and I got something called drug-induced lupus from over-prescribing of two or three really seriously dangerous drugs. One which was banned in England, which I was given in Spain, blah, blah. What happened was that I imploded and I got something called drug-induced lupus. I went into hospital. I nearly died. Cortisone brought me back to life. So, of course, I'm grateful because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for cortisone. But, of course, cortisone has its problems. And my experience of cortisone from 80 milligrams a day down to zero over a year were extraordinary. I mean, I put on huge amounts of weight. I had moon face syndrome. I had hair on my chin, hair on my chest. And I walked around, you know, with dresses that looked like tents. And then little by little by little, I lost the weight. And so I became, in a sense, what's called a steroid patient. And then, I'm digressing a bit, I became president of the Steroid Aid Action Group. And for many, many years, we have been a self-help group, helping each other on the whole business of being prescribed high-dose steroids or even low-dose steroids or even maintenance steroids, how to handle it, how to try to come down, etc. So I'm probably digressing a lot, but that is why I am so interested in injury from prescribed drugs.
So that led you to investigate a lot of issues, and you are a filmmaker, and you've been involved with TV. And how did you get involved with the Gardasil story? And let me just say that Gardasil is a vaccine. When was it released, Joan? Do you know when it first was introduced into the population?
I think it was 2008, yeah.
Okay, so I was aware of it very early on, and I was mentioning to you, Joan, that I did a whole series of interviewing doctors and parents of injured people and researchers and advocates many years ago, and this was first developed in Australia, and I was alerted to the dangers very early on. So Gardasil is a vaccine that is being promoted now to young boys as well as young girls to prevent the development of cervical cancer. And general population, I know in Australia, it's recommended for every single girl. Now boys are being given without parents' permission. They can just get it at their schools. And you took on this issue, and that's what your documentary, Sacrificial Virgins, is. So what did you discover doing the research?
In the days when I was working with Professor Peter Duisberg on the AIDS debate, which is another whole subject, he said to me, you know, the whole human papillomavirus issue is a terrible mistake. And this was, I'm talking about early 90s, right? It stayed in my mind. And then little by little by little, I realized that this was becoming a major issue in more recently. And then I've also worked with Dr. Christian Fiala, who's a very, very highly respected obstetrician and gynecologist in Vienna. And he said, Joan, this is a very serious issue, because he had noticed very early on, just after, you know, the drug was introduced, the vaccine, that a young girl had died in Vienna. And as an obstetrician and gynecologist, this is, of course, something he would need to know a lot about. So he investigated. And she had had neurological symptoms after her second injection of the human papillomavirus vaccine, HPV. And she had developed neurological symptoms, and then she died tragically in her sleep one night. And he said, this has to be investigated. So he did. And he spoke to a pathologist and everyone that dealt with her case. So more recently, I've gone over to interview for our trilogy, which is three 12-minute films, called Sacrificial Virgins. I went over to Vienna and interviewed Dr. Fiala, and I met the pathologist who had said he thought it was the HPV vaccine that had done the damage. Now, to be specific, that pathologist was a government forensic pathologist who was the second pathologist that the court decided to call upon because no one could decide on why this young girl had died. Her name is Jasmine Soriat. And so when the government forensic pathologist, second opinion, said it could be the vaccine or it could be a heart condition that you never ever see symptoms of, the whole world fell upon him. All his professional colleagues phoned him and said, how dare you say you think it's the vaccine? You must withdraw. And this guy did not withdraw. And when I went to visit him, he said he took early retirement. But I have a feeling that he was sacked, you see. So he's now out of work because he said he thought it was the HPV vaccine that was the cause of Jasmine Soriat's death. And from then on, of course, what with Professor Duesberg saying there is no proof that HPV causes cervical cancer, there's only an association, and the association is actually what he calls fossils. That is, I'm probably racing ahead here, but what happens is that human papillomavirus is known to cause warts. Now, for millennia, we have had warts, and usually our immune system gets rid of them. But, of course, now they say that, you know, if they test you for HPV, that you might get cervical cancer later on in life. But there is no proof. I mean, I believe it's about a third of women who die of cervical cancer in older age have no HPV. And HPV that is there, if you see it, Professor Duesberg says, is fossils. Fossils that can do nothing. They, you know, they appeared long ago. They were dealt with by the immune system, and they're still in your system. But they're what he calls dormant passengers. Okay. That's enough.
Well, here is the problem with this vaccine, and you go into it. I mean, you show these women who, these young girls, perfectly healthy young girls, before they had the vaccine, and then after the vaccine, they've been incapacitated. They've been paralyzed. There's one young girl, a very active, dynamic young girl, has to be fed with a feeding tube. She can't even take in food. And there are more adverse reactions reported from the human papillomavirus of the Gardasil vaccine than any other vaccine that has been created to date. So we have some serious problems going on because these young children, and now their boys are being affected, are being damaged for life. So the first thing that you mentioned, and it has to be established that the HPV virus, which has an association with cervical cancer, generally within 2 years, if you have a healthy immune system, the body will heal from that virus. Yeah. The statistics of people actually dying from cervical cancer is so small, so minute, mm-hmm. and it can be easily addressed if women do have exams and get pap smears. So it's not a rampant epidemic in the first place. It's an insignificant condition that's going on and easily treatable, especially if it's caught early. But we have now it's a universal vaccine that all these young, and I know you call them sacrificial virgins because you're given this vaccine when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, before you have sexual activity, although I know of teenagers who've been given this vaccine, which is not where it was supposed to go. Why is it such a dangerous vaccine, Joan? Why is it making
all
these children?
Well, you see, the thing
children?
Is not everybody is affected by it, but the girls who are particularly susceptible to autoimmune conditions are not screened out. And so everybody gets it. And one of the things I want to stress now is that I spoke to one of the world authorities on aluminium toxicity. Now, very briefly, nearly all of our vaccines have aluminium adjuvant in them, which makes our system, stimulates it into producing antibodies against whatever you want to vaccinate against. But the problem is that this aluminium that we've been using for years, which is, it's called, 90 years we've been using something called aluminium oxyhydroxide. What's happened is the drug companies that have produced Gardasil are adding, after the safety trials, one of them is adding another aluminium, a different kind, and another of the drug companies producing it is putting in a new kind of aluminium. I'm not going to over-technicalize all of this. A new one that's never been used before. Now, if you fast-track a drug, which is what's happened with Gardasil and Cervarix, they've been fast-tracked. They only go through phase one of the safety trials. They haven't been through long-term toxicity testing. So when they put all these new aluminiums in, they're causing terrible damage. And as Professor Exley said, he said, look, what happens is that cells go to the vaccine site. They pick up the aluminium, take it around the body. It can go through the blood-brain barrier and go into the brain. Then the aluminium cell is destroyed, but the aluminium is then free range in the brain. And the girls I have seen, it is so distressing, Cheryl. I mean, you said it tears at our heartstrings. You used that phrase. And that is the perfect phrase. Because when I walked into the room and I saw the first girl I met, her name is Mia, she was strapped in to a wheelchair, every limb. Her neck was on a neck brace, and the only thing she could move was her lips. And it was devastating. I mean, I have been a medical journalist for many, many years, and I've done disability and, you know, done it. I haven't done it, but I've met disabled people for many, many years. But this was heartrending. These are young girls aged 12, 13, 14, 15.
Perfectly healthy, right? Perfectly healthy, or you know, before they had the three injections of this vaccine.
Yeah, perfectly healthy. And all the ones that I have interviewed and spoken to, they either developed reactions after the first, or the second, or the third. But it would have been apparent, you see. Now, the big problem, Cheryl, is, as Dr. Fiala says, that neurological symptoms take a while to develop. So, you know, you can go through 4, 6, 8 weeks and not have a reaction. Then you have a very minimal neurological reaction. Like, actually, you know, my interviewee in Australia, Kristen Clulow, she said the first thing she noticed was she couldn't wear high heels because she couldn't walk properly in them. The next thing she noticed was she couldn't take shorthand. The next thing she noticed was she couldn't speak properly. And then she was in a wheelchair. So these are very slow things. And, of course, the doctors they go to, none of them remember that all that time earlier they had an HPV vaccine. Well, of course, some of them do. But it's difficult to associate it immediately.
So what we're finding is that these types of aluminum adjuvants that have been added, you say after the safety study some of these were put in?
Yes, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
And
they were never tested for safety then. Never tested.
Never tested.
Are toxins to our brain. They have neurological implications. Mm. They compromise the functioning of our brain, which leads to this paralysis and autoimmune conditions and inflammation in the brain. Mm. So let me ask you, in the research you've done and putting the documentary and all of these experts, do you think that the Gardasil vaccine is valid? Is a valid vaccine to be given our children?
Must be withdrawn. You see, when a bad drug goes onto the world market, I remember Dr. Andrew Herxheimer, who was our mentor and advisor, a famous pharmacologist who founded the Drug and Therapeutics Bulletin, the late Dr. Andrew Herxheimer. He said it takes at least 10 years to get a bad drug off the market. And, you know, they have to withdraw this. They have to. It must be stopped. And, you know, the senior neurologist on this case in Japan, Dr. Hirokuni Beppu, in my interview with him, he said it should be withdrawn. Peter Duesberg says it must be withdrawn. Dr. Christian Fiala says it must be withdrawn. It should be stopped.
And it must be noted that the Gardasil vaccine is the most expensive vaccine ever created.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You know how much it cost.
Yeah, it's and I know that in places like Australia, the government pays for it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's being offered
to
everyone.
Yeah, you see, now you've put me onto another thing. The governments buy. You see, the pharmaceutical industry makes the vaccines, sells it to governments. Governments give it to schools, make it mandatory in some places. So you lose the doctor-patient relationship. You know, it's just pharmaceutical industry, government, schools. It's a new way of marketing.
Yeah, and so I know that because they pushed it so hard in Australia that you don't need parental consent. A 12-year-old does not need parental consent to get the Gardasil vaccine.
Is that right?
Yeah, well...
You know, I know that Judicial Watch in America, in New York, are suing the manufacturers for giving it to minors without parental consent.
Yeah.
But what you mentioned earlier, quickly, to say that pap smears, you know, are perfectly adequate to monitor whether or not, you know, you might be at risk of cervical cancer. But now they're saying you don't need pap smears anymore because you're going to have the vaccine.
So... do you know of cases where women who were given the Gardasil vaccine actually created or diagnosed with cervical cancer, came down with it after they were given the vaccine?
I don't.
I have heard of that happening, that there are now cases of cervical cancer being diagnosed in women who were given that vaccine. God knows what we are unleashing when we do this.
I know.
I mean, we have no idea. So what's going on with the boys?
I haven't researched the boys, but I know, and I don't know how they prove or think they can prove that boys carry HPV.
Well, I know they are giving it to boys because there's an increase in esophageal cancer, and so they somehow think it's the HPV that's behind it, for whether it's sexually transmitted or whatever. Now, remember, these are children, so these are children who have not had any sexual contact, but that's why, you know, and interestingly enough, when I believe one of the researchers, whistleblowers, was saying that the initial research was never really done on young children, and that's the population that they're now giving this vaccine.
Yeah.
So it started out with young girls. Now all the 11-year-old boys are being vaccinated, and they are being harmed as well as the young girls. I mean, it's just so shocking when we put all this together. It's like it's a vaccine for a disease that is not an epidemic, that can be clearly resolved if people have good nutrition. You know, a lot of the vulnerability to human papillomavirus is from low folic acid and B6 levels. And I've, in my practice, given those nutritional supplements to people women who've been diagnosed with human papillomavirus, and it cleared up. So this is not a terrible condition.
Mm.
You
Hello?
Know? Yeah. I'm here. I'm here. So
there is one other thing. I'm looking at my notes that I need to say before we run out of time. There was a cheating that went on in these trials, you know. Not only did they add new aluminium compounds after the trials, and another used a brand new form of aluminium that had never been used before, but in the trials, what they did was they actually added aluminium to the placebo group. Now, just to explain, as many listeners will know, when they have trials, they have a drug group and a placebo group that is supposed to be a completely inert substance. But both drug companies who produce Gardasil and Cervarix added aluminium to the placebo group. Now, what does that do? Well, it completely messes it all up because any side effects from the drug group would be, in a sense, evened out by the side effects in the placebo group who are also getting aluminium.
Yeah, so you're not having a true placebo group because all the people in that placebo group are already exposed to a toxic a toxic ingredient and
could be affected.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the other thing that really depresses me is that most of the health authorities still maintain that there is no proof that HPV causes the symptoms that are now being recorded. Now, you know, they don't even seem curious enough to say there are, you know, one or two cases, which there are, in the literature, in medical literature. Today, I had a meeting with a medical correspondent for one of the major national newspapers in England. And he said he showed me two articles I actually hadn't seen of examples of accepted in the orthodoxy side effects to the vaccine, neurological damage. You know, but
so
everyone says, no, it doesn't happen. And the other thing here is that most health authorities are so terrified of actually saying, oh, you know, the vaccine caused it, that the doctors involved say, oh, no, it's all in the girl's mind. You know,
right.
It's
paralysis, a total paralysis is in your mind. A perfectly healthy child who takes the vaccine comes down within days or weeks or even months of incapacitated condition, has it all in their mind. Yeah. So we know we're dealing with a corrupt system that doesn't have the welfare of people at their highest priority. It's all about the bucks.
Yeah.
So you know, this is such an important conversation. Before we have to wind it up, is there any last thing you want to say in the minute or so we have left, Jim?
Well, I just want to tell you that I feel so strongly for those young girls, and they're being so brave, and they are speaking out and saying they don't want this vaccine to be given anymore to anybody else to damage them. You know, and also I want to tell you that there's litigation going on around the world now. In Japan, there's 120 cases going through the courts, and in Colombia, there's a class action involving 700 cases, you know. So it's terribly important that we all, you know, take note and do something. I don't know what we can do.
Well, we have to wake up and we have to spread the word that this is that we should avoid this vaccine. It is dangerous, unproven, unnecessary, and we have to fight against the forced vaccination of our population.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and I'm
grateful to you for all the work you do in this field.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'm so honored to have you on the show. And I want everyone to go, first of all, visit the website, which is Sacrificial Virgins.
Yes. Now, I just want to quickly say, the best website you can go to is for our Immunity Resource Foundation website, which you go to www.immunity.org.uk.
Great, immunity.org.uk. Oh, and I'll make sure we put that in the archive show as well. What can I say? I'm just so you know, inspired by what you are doing, Joan, and I wish you all the best, and we'll help spread the message and wake people up to what's really going on
Thank
and
you,
save
Cheryl.
Our children. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure. So we've been having a conversation with Joan Shenton. She is the director, the producer of this three-part series called Sacrificial Virgins. Check it out. It will alarm you, shock you, and hopefully move you into action. And stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to be talking to Helen Lobato, who is an author of a recent book called Gardasil, Fast-Tracked and Flawed. And she'll be talking to us from Australia on this international show today. So thank you so much, Joan. And for all my listeners, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. It's Beaty Konvretos, host of the Ask Beaty Show. Thanks to Audio Now, the Progressive Radio Network now has an app. All you have to do is go to the App Store on your cell phone and search the Progressive Radio Network. You can listen live to PRN shows and also listen to past archive shows. So go to your app store and download it right now.
Hi, everyone. I want to welcome you back to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and today we are talking about the untold dangers of Gardasil, the cervical cancer vaccine. And my guest the second half is Helen Lobato, and she is calling us from Melbourne, Australia. So it's quite an international show today. Let me just tell you a little bit about Helen. She is an independent health researcher with a background in critical care nursing. She holds a media studies degree and was for many years a presenter of community radio programs focusing on women's current affairs and women's health. Helen is the author of Gardasil, Fast-Tracked and Flawed, an in-depth investigation of the human papilloma vaccine, which exposes the cracks in the pharmaceutical industry and highlights the problems that arise when government regulators and corporate interests are prioritized ahead of patient safety, independent science, and common sense. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Helen to the show today, because Helen's research and the work she's doing is such an important piece of understanding of the Gardasil story as we have been conveying it today on this show. So first of all, let me welcome Helen, and good morning. I know you're there in Melbourne, Australia. And welcome. It's
Hello,
good to have
Cheryl.
You on the
Thank
show.
Thank you for having me.
Just to let all of my listeners know, we met many, many years ago when I was a guest on your radio show, Community Radio Show in Melbourne. I have very fond memories of that. So when I get back there, I'll come and visit again. You know,
wonderful.
It's great. It's really great that you have taken on this issue and are helping to communicate what the real problem is around the Gardasil vaccine. So I'm so happy you could be with us today, because you contribute another important piece of this health puzzle. So why don't I just let you begin by talking about this whole, you know, cervical cancer issue. What's the backstory going on here?
Well, I think the backstory is rather neglected. And the book includes looking at the history of cervical cancer, just briefly. In the early 19th century, cervical cancer was thought to be associated with women who lived in the city. They were the poor women, and it wasn't really seen much in nuns. But they later found that this was untrue, and it was seen in nuns and also in women who were married. So the idea of a virus really didn't come into the whole story until about 1977, when a German virologist, Harald Zuhausen, he claimed that this virus, wart virus, human papilloma virus, could cause cervical cancer. And human papillomavirus, as we all know, is a common wart virus, 80% of us have it at some stage in our life. And it goes away naturally within about a couple of years. And most of us, as I said, have had the virus, and yet only about 1% of the world's women develop cervical cancer. So there's really something wrong with this story that says that all teenagers need to be vaccinated with the human papillomaviruses, such as Gardasil. Cervical cancer was thought, before the advent of the human papillomavirus theory, was thought to be caused by adverse social conditions and environmental exposures, especially smoking. That was seen as a really big cause. Other causes and risk factors were nutritional deficiencies, even the contraceptive pill, multiple pregnancies. The daughters of women who took DES have 40 times higher risk of adenocarcinoma.
Can you just mention what that... Wait, Helen, just before you go on, let's just tell people what DES is for those...
Yeah, you could do that. Oh, you don't know it?
No, I do know it.
Yes. But, sorry, I thought you would really be the expert on that, Cheryl.
Well, I mean, since we mentioned that, I'll just jump in. But DES was a synthetic estrogen. It was an estrogen that was given to women to help stop morning sickness. And it was an absolute disaster, and all it did was cause major illnesses and cancers. That's went on for three generations now. Genetic damage has gone on for three generations, making women more vulnerable to cervical cancer and ovarian cancer and hormonal imbalances and the like. So that was another failed experiment, let's just say.
Yeah, another one of the drugs and the many problems. So cervical cancer is an awful cancer, but it's very slow growing. And it occurs when there's changes in the cervical cells, which are called cervical dysplasia. There is no epidemic of cervical cancer, especially in Western nations. In Australia in the year 2014, there are around about 220 women who died of cervical cancer, and most of them were older women. So it is... amazing that we've got to this point where all teenagers are vaccinated against human papillomavirus when there is no proof that this causes cervical cancer, and there has been no proof that the vaccine has ever prevented a case of cervical cancer ever.
Isn't there evidence that it's actually contributing to cervical cancer in women who've had the vaccine?
What they've found is that there has been a reduction in cervical dysplasia. But that's in girls where really it would not have progressed to cervical cancer anyway. The actual trials were not... conducted against a case of cervical cancer, because you can't do that because it takes decades to develop. So they used a surrogate endpoint, which was the cervical dysplasia, grade 2 to 3. And so when they saw a reduction in some of the girls, they said that it was going to protect against cervical cancer. But these cervical dysplasia cases in young girls 15 to 26 rarely go on to cause cervical cancer.
So just to really emphasize the point, that this is a rare cervical, first of all, it's called a cervical cancer vaccine, and it isn't a cervical cancer vaccine. It goes after the human papilloma virus,
right?
So it's kind of misnamed to begin with.
But it was promoted initially, wasn't it, to be against cervical cancer.
Yeah, it's so much more emotional to have a cervical cancer vaccine than to say it's against a virus. But the
harmless what virus?
Right. So the point is that, you know, in Australia as an example, in the population of 20-something million now, there were 200 deaths, and most of them were probably, as you said, older women who were never properly monitored.
That's right.
I mean, it's nothing. It's an insignificant statistic, really, in terms of a public health crisis that's going on. And yet it was turned into a vaccine that is now, I don't know, is it mandated? What is the status in Australia?
It's not mandated, but it is definitely firmly promoted. And so the teenage children, boys and girls, are asked to take this vaccine at the age of 12 to 13, just, you know, beginning high school. They get sent home a consent form, and if it's signed, they're given it. You know, it doesn't. There's no informed consent on the form. It doesn't tell you about all the well over 73,000 reported side effects, and we know only 1 to 10% are ever reported. It doesn't tell you that that it wasn't tested against cervical cancer outcomes. It doesn't tell you that they used a aluminium-based placebo instead of using a normal saline placebo to test it. There is no informed consent. So it is really shocking. And next year in Australia, they are bringing in Gardasil 9. So at the moment, they get Gardasil, which is said to be protective against four of the risk factors or the subtypes of human papillomavirus. But next year they bring in Gardasil 9. I think it's being used in America now, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is.
Well, it's all very new, and I've just been hearing about it. So what is Gardasil 9?
All right, so Gardasil 9 includes the four risk or the four subtypes of HPV that are in the original Gardasil, and then it adds another five. So Gardasil 9 was approved, that's why it's called 9, was approved by the US FDA without the usual review process. Apparently in the trials funded by Merck, the manufacturer placebo wasn't used, but instead the trial received was placed against quadrivalent Gardasil, so it was trialled against the original Gardasil. Australian government has recently launched an enormous 5.5 million immunisation education campaign. So this is now being rolled out, or will be in February, to all teenagers in Australia. The Gardasil 9 contains more aluminium and more antigens, that is the 9 subtypes, the antigens, said to prevent 9 types of human papillomavirus. The Gardasil 9 contains virus-like particles, genetically engineered, which is the same as the Gardasil. According to the package insert, the adverse effects of the vaccine are about 2.3%. Now, that doesn't sound a lot, but cervical cancer outcomes are classified as 1 per 100,000. So for every 100,000 children injected, there will be 2,300 adverse events. And yet, there are only 7.9 per 100,000 cases of cervical cancer in the US. So you're risking 2,300 adverse events for just 7 per 100,000 cases of cervical cancer.
Presumably. Preventing cervical cancer.
Yep.
There's no absolute evidence. It actually does.
No, that's
because
right.
They don't even know if, you know, anyone will ever get cervical cancer, and
no,
if it does,
no.
What the cause is. What are the adverse effects and
the adverse events?
What do they look like?
Effects of just so many things. They're neurological problems. They're coming up with cases of girls saying they've got MS, seizures, collapse, they've got heart problems, they've got gastrointestinal effects. I was reading a great article by a fellow called Lloyd W. Phillips. He's written Gardasil Syndrome, A Perfect Storm of Genetic Mutations and Reactivated Pathogens. He's got a background in cellular biology, and he describes Gardasil Syndrome as a debilitating and sometimes fatal pathophysiology. So Gardasil contains a new type of aluminium called amorphous aluminium hydroxyphosphate sulfate. And they use this as an adjuvant. An adjuvant is used to create an immune response. And with these genetically engineered vaccines, you need a strong adjuvant. So apparently this new form of aluminium causes the immune system to become 104 times more powerfully stimulated to produce antibodies to the vaccine than would occur naturally. Then there's another one called Cervarix. That's another human papillomavirus vaccine. It forces the stimulation of the immune system 124 times more powerfully. So you can imagine this is a really, really strong response in young bodies. It results in the development of really dangerous allergies, especially asthma, and also causes the manifestation of autoimmune diseases and seizures and all of these conditions that we hear about that are occurring in the young girls and now boys, including, have you heard of POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardic syndrome, where the girls are collapsing. They've got really bad gastrointestinal problems and, so which is really, really bad. The vaccine causes hyperstimulation of the cells in all parts of the body, including the gut, where we're seeing so much more of. We've got all these young people with allergies to certain foods, inflammations, lack of nutrient absorption. It's really awful, I think, Cheryl. And he explains it very well. And I think it's really good because we need to understand this. Turn it around.
And you know, when you said that it stimulates the immune system like 100%, you know, for the average person, that may sound really good. Wow, you know, our immune system is really going to be activated.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's not what's going on. An overstimulated immune system it's like your foot is on the accelerator creating inflammation. Because
that's
the body's
happens.
Immune system generates
yes.
these molecules, these inflammatory molecules, which is designed to only be on for a short period of time when the job
when
is done.
When it needs to be.
Right. But when you have an overstimulated immune system, it is in overdrive all the time, generating chronic inflammatory reactions, which leads to all sorts of autoimmune diseases, all sorts of pain, all sorts of inflammation going on throughout the entire body, including the brain, which becomes a debilitating condition. In some cases, paralysis and loss of function.
Yep, and that's what we're seeing in these young girls. You had Joan Shenton on before, I believe,
yep.
And she'd done the video on sacrificial virgins, and we saw in her videos the cases of the young girls. Some of them had to be fed intravenously. So obviously her gut wasn't working properly. There's apparently hundreds of thousands of YouTube videos showing the cases of the young girls and the problems they're now having to put up with, and their poor parents. And what's it for?
What is it for? What
but we've
for?
Had no proof that that the vaccines prevented a single case of cervical cancer, which is a disease of mostly occurs in 35 to 50-year-old women, and older women usually are the ones who die. There'll be the occasional young one. But, you know, I think that if you look at people like Professor Peter Duisberg, who said that the HPV that is actually found in the cervical tumours is a fossil.
Right.
It's a remnant of a infection decades earlier.
Hmm.
He says that in the Sacrificial Virgins videos by Joan.
It's disastrous, and I think you brought up an important point. Say we're vaccinating these children before they're sexually active, when the vaccine supposedly is going to be most protective, and you need three different injections over a period of time, I think 6 months or so.
6 months. Yep.
6 months, and there is no evidence that this vaccine has protective effects for the long term when you are most vulnerable to cervical cancer, which, as you said, is 35 and older.
Mm.
So we don't know what's going on. We don't know if they're going to have booster shots throughout their whole life and what the consequences will be, or if this is even protective. I have a question. Why are young boys being given this vaccine? Because it was originally designed for young girls only.
I think it's a marketing exercise. They say that it's because boys can get anal and penile cancers, and they say that it'll stop the transmission of HPV to girls. That's their excuse.
But no evidence that this is true.
Well, not that I know of.
Right. So
I think it's the same story, you know. It may reduce the HPV infection rate, but there's no proof that it's going to protect from any cancers. And HPV is not a real problem. We've all had the infection, and our immune system mostly gets rid of it. Apparently, even babies are born with HPV. I mean, it's all crazy.
You know, it
and
is not an epidemic that...
Such problems.
Right. So what's...
Apparently, getting back to this research by Lloyd Phillips, who says that, and I've heard other people say this too, it really seems to be the very active girls and boys who this is affecting. He also says it's very, very, this reaction I'm talking about to the Gardasil is really, really prominent in people from Ireland, and the northern Western European countries are really, really affected by the Gardasil syndrome. It's very interesting. It's got a lot to do with the genetics as well. Mm. Yeah, there's really fascinating research going on.
Your message and your work is just so important, helping to wake up the population. Your book is Gardasil, Fast Tracked and Flawed, which really is a whole expose of this vaccine and as it says in the title, was how it was fast tracked and flawed without adequate studies and long term trials to show the safety of it. Is your book available in the U.S. now, Helen?
Yeah, you can get it in the U.S. from the Independent Publishers Group, which is ipgbook.com.
ipg.com. So if people want to pick up a copy...
Sorry, ipgbook.com.
ipgbook.com. And
yeah.
If anyone wants to know more about the story, pick up Helen Lovato's book called Gardasil, Fast Tracked and Flawed. If they want to know more about Helen's work, go to Helen Lovato, and that's Lobato.com. And you have lots of blogs going on, Helen, and sharing the message and helping people to really understand what the real situation is and to make informed choices. You know, it's all about informed choice. But to me, I don't see any validity for this vaccine at all.
Mm-hmm.
The risks are too great, and it's questionable if there's even a problem that this vaccine is truly addressing.
And I think we should remember that the Pap smear test will pick up cervical cancer, cervical dysplasia, and that's the best way to pick it up. We don't need the vaccine. We've got a good diagnostic test, and we also have to attend to the environmental problems, don't we?
Sure that our children are well nourished. As I was saying when I was talking with Joan, it's been shown that you're more vulnerable to the virus if you are low in your B vitamins, particularly folic acid and B6. So easily resolved by increasing your B vitamins. The pill is known to make the virus more virulent, and so that becomes a risk factor, and obviously stress plays into that. So, you know, it's common sense. Get nourished. Get some good supplementation. Reduce stress. And those are the most critical factors to support your health in general, and specifically either preventing the development of the virus or to help the immune system heal from it.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So this is why we need to, we really need to get this message out, and why I am really grateful to you, Helen, for taking on this issue. It isn't a popular issue in Australia. It isn't popular to even question vaccines in Australia.
It's
particularly popular here either. But, you know, it's very courageous what you're doing. It's very courageous what you're doing. So
I'm very passionate about it, so I'll continue on. Yep.
You will, and I'm glad I can help spread the word. So
thank you
Cheryl. Again for getting up early in the morning in Melbourne, Australia. It's
That's
just
right.
been
up
such
for
a pleasure.
A couple of hours. I've done very well.
Oh, good. You have a good start on the day now.
Thanks again.
And to all of you listening, I'm sure this is a really provocative show. So pay attention. Go and watch Sacrificial Virgins. Go over to HelenLobato.com. Learn more. Get educated. And help to really support the health and well-being. And warn people about the dangers of the Gardasil vaccine. Well, until next time, let me remind you once again to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. Have a great day, and bye for now.